Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm Greg Lancaster. I want to welcome all of our Christian Television Network audience out there and our VFN Radio audience around the nation and around the world. Joining me is John.
Hello.
John Ramos and Pat Hamilton.
Hello there.
If you've been joining us, we're having this conversation about Nehemiah, beginning just like to soak in this whole journey back to righteousness, this journey back to a place that we need to be again. And it's just, is it not encouraging to be just kind of hear this journey? And
yeah, because you need to have a sense of brokenness, understand exactly where we've been. You know, how can we relate back to God? How can we turn our hearts to Him if we're not mourning for the things that He's mourning for?
What John's talking about in our previous program, we talked about that, you know, Nehemiah was, he looked at what really was, but then he was broken. He got the heart of God over that and being broken.
Yeah. Cause if we don't have the heart of God, how can we respond to God and His needs? And oftentimes God's heart, sad to say, is often ignored.
Right. Right.
But what we need is the repentance to come right back. But how can we repent for what we don't even know is even happening?
Right. Right. Or, you know, and so just briefly, just kind of give you a little update here. And, you know, in Nehemiah chapter one, we're just kind of soaking on it because God's people were in bondage. They were up under oppressive government because of their sin, not because of the oppressive government. It wasn't the oppressive government was God's servant doing his job. They were Jehoiakim. They were doing what God set men God wanted them to do. And so Nehemiah, the report came back to Nehemiah, and Nehemiah was doing his job, as we talked about in the previous program. And you need to hear this in the context of it, because if we'll just do our job, you know, as Christians, and with a good attitude, with gratitude, then you could win your boss's heart.
Imagine
very
that.
Few folks, you know, most people are acting like you got kidnapped and thrown into this place called a place of work. And, you know, you're doing them a favor by just even being there in your presence. And so you give them at least 20% of your day as creative. The rest of it is just kind of dodging responsibilities. But as Christians, you know, we need to be there. And so Nehemiah was doing his job. He was working under working for and under, all of Israel was an oppressive government, at least a majority of Israel. And he heard a report. He heard a report about what was going on with the conditions of Jerusalem, how the walls were broke down and how the gates, the authority was burnt, you know. And he just began to weep and lament over the very fact of what was going on. And you got to hear the context of that in our previous program, because that's a prerequisite. We got to follow this whole pathway, this whole journey, the path back to a place of reestablished walls.
Mm.
And so when he heard the report, that, you know, what are we saying about God's way of doing things? What are we saying about the churches? What are we preaching? What are we, you know, all these different simple things now have gotten a little complicated. And it's not complicated. You're just trying to squeeze in your own agenda. Aren't you broken for the fact that somebody could sit under a ministry for 10 years and not even know the voice of God? Somebody could be in the presence of what you call a church gathering and not even know it was a church for 6 months. I mean, aren't you broken over the fact that if it's God's people that repent, that brings a healing to a nation, then this disease in our nation right now is because we haven't repented? Does that not break your heart? So this means the condition of the church is not right. And what we did was, and he says in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4, he says, when he heard the things that was about the condition of God's people in Jerusalem, that he sat down and he wept. He sat down and he wept. And you got to be willing to hear the truth. And then, you know, what we prayed for, we've been praying for quite some time now, just beginning to walk out, you know, what does prayer look like? And for 24 hours a day on Mondays, you know, for
about 5 years.
About 5 years now, we're trying to mature in that. You know, what does that look like? And, you know, we're not praying for the whole 24 hours, but we're asking God, touch us, help us be people of prayer. And so different people are taking watches. So we as a people, as a whole. And we need a lot of grace in that. But understand that one thing that we're praying is, you know, God, help us to feel what you're feeling. Help us to know the ranges of your perfect emotion.
Right.
And in that journey, as we were praying that as I was telling you in the previous program, I'm like, okay, we got to get rid of that. You know, I don't want to feel this anymore. It was so painful. It felt so distraught and desperate and didn't know if I would survive it. And then we added one part of that prayer was, and give us the grace to be able to handle it.
Yeah.
And he gave us more of a grace. And of course, like I said in Ezekiel in the previous program, you know, God spoke to us after a time of fasting and prayer that he will, it's not unhealthy for you to mourn. And it is unhealthy for you not to be mourning, not to be broken over the condition. And, but there comes a season when, okay, you've agreed with my heart. You've felt my pain. You understand why I'm going to call you to do what you're doing. And it's time to bring, hopefully, my people back to me. And so he feels that pain and broken. So then the next thing he does, because we want what happened in regards to when Nehemiah became that man to stand in the gap for a nation, because God looks for someone to stand in the gap so he doesn't have to destroy the land. Mm. And he was aware of the condition of Jerusalem, what was going on. And even though he was working for a king that wasn't of God, but he was a servant, obviously, of God. And so in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4, he goes on to say, so once he started feeling the pain of it, and he sat down and he wept, he said, for some days at that point, he began to mourn, fast, and pray before the God of heaven. Remember that, the God of heaven. And so in the conjunction with that, that he understood that this was between, this encounter was between God and him. Mm. And so he realized what, sort of like Josiah did when Josiah read the word, he realized, my goodness, that we've sinned against God. God's angry with us. And so before the God in heaven, he mourned, he fasted, and he prayed. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so he did that. And as he was doing that, he was praying. And the prayer that he prayed, it goes on in verse 5. And then he said, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant and praying before you day and night for your servants, the people of Israel. In other words, he was praying day and night for the people who are in bondage, and they were in bondage because they sinned. Mm-hmm. But he had compassion. He's not like trying to put them down. He's actually praying for these folks. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? He's praying for them. And that's another thing you have to understand, that you're praying for God's people. You're not praying against God's people.
When it gets so bad, you just realize how we got here, you know, right. And it's us together.
Yeah.
You know? We got to get out of this. We've sinned against God.
Right. And he says, I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself. Think about that.
Yeah.
And my father's family have committed against you. We have acted very wickedly towards you. We have not obeyed the commands, decrees, and laws you gave to your servant Moses. I mean, think about it. He took personal ownership. He realized that he was part of the problem, that he had to repent for his own sins, but he also had to come out and to say, listen, you know, I love my father and I love our fathers and what they've done, but their wickedness have got us into this. You can't just keep on, you know, passing over the sins of the fathers. Mm-hmm. You have to pray and acknowledge that was wrong, that was sinful, and dear God, forgive us for what our fathers in this nation, America, has done, right?
Yeah.
And then he says, you know, remember the instructions you gave your servant Moses, saying, so he's looking back in the Word of God, and he's reviewing what God said. He says, if you are unfaithful, so he's looking at himself in the Scriptures, and he's saying, listen, you may remember what you said, because he knows something, and you need to know this. That there's a lot of people who have been caught up in a lying spirit, misspeaking, misspoken, all that kind of stuff. That God's not a man that he would lie, or the Son of Man that he would change his mind. He doesn't speak and not act or promise and not fulfill. All of his promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So when you get into his word, you find out, you can say, wait a minute, this is my pathway back to righteousness. I'm not talking about, you know, the righteousness that comes to Jesus Christ. I'm talking about getting out of your sin. And so he says, remember the instructions that you gave your servant Moses, saying, if you are unfaithful, so that would be us, God, is what he's saying. And he says, I will scatter you among the nations. And so in the context of that he realized the reason why everybody was all over the map and scattered everywhere. And right now, the church in America is scattered. Mm-hmm. It's just scattered. And it's all over the place. And it's scattered because this is what when Ahab was dealt with and confronted mm-hmm. and that type of thing, and that when Jehu was prophesying to him, he was just, everybody saying, you know, we got to have a leader. And he's like, no, it's better just go back, go home. Mm-hmm. There yeah. comes a time you're better to be scattered than up under dark leadership. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. In regards to God, in regards to somebody keep on talking like they're talking what God is saying, but it's not what God's saying. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's better just to, this is what the Secretary of Defense said recently in an interview. Don't miss a great opportunity to shut up.
Mm. Wow.
It's one of his favorite quotes.
That's
you know?
Good.
And there comes a time when everything's falling around you and everything's destroyed. You know, just it's not working. Stop. Find another form of income. If you're thinking that's your only form of income, please. Like the atheist said, who's pastoring some traditional church, you see it on ABC News. Yes, you can see it on the VFN Torch. He says, this is the only occupation that I know. Hmm. It's not an occupation. It's a call, brother.
That's right.
Not brother. Dark one.
Yeah. Dark
you need
one.
To leave. All right. You need to leave. And so this is what he's saying. He's saying, if you... This is what your word says, God. Remember, you told Moses, if you are unfaithful, which means, you know, hey, we wondered, things happen. You know, we get deceived. We get enticed. Things happen. He says, if you are unfaithful, I will scatter you amongst the nations. Okay, we're scattered now. Sometimes that can be a very, very good thing. He says, but if you return to me, that don't mean get up and physically travel somewhere. It means in your heart, if you return to me and obey my commands, then even if you are exiled people are the furthest away that the horizon can possibly be. In other words, I don't care how far you've gone, if you repent, if you truly repent and you confess that you have sinned against me, God saying, I will gather you right where you are and bring you to a place that I have chosen, this dwelling place for my name. In other words, God's going to bring you. First, you got to don't try to go to someplace while you're still in darkness. Call out to God and get saved. Get free. And acknowledge your sin and your father's sin and say, you know, God, I'm ready to come back. And in the context of that, he's saying, listen, don't you remember what happened? But this is a progression. Remember, listen to this and the consecutiveness of all of it. And then he says, they are your servants, your people. So he's saying, listen, these are your people. This is the church. You know, mm-hmm. this is your people, the servants, your people whom you redeemed by your great strength and your mighty hand. You know what I'm saying? This is who you laid down your son's life for, God. Jesus, this is who you laid down your life for. The church. And he says, Lord, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of this person, your servant, to the prayer of your servants who delight in revering your name. Think about it, and revere the holiness of the name of God. Give your servant a success. Think about that. Give your servant success today by granting him favor in the presence of this man, the king. Think about it. In other words, grant me success. But understand, his success was not, we're going to talk more about that this break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
If you're a working mom, you know that making the transition from work to home is challenging. This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and author and mom of five, Jill Savage, shares a tip.
A mom that works full-time outside the home, maybe as she's making that drive, you know, she is, oftentimes, we're still thinking about the things that we left at the office instead of saying, all right, I need to get my other hat on here. And even, you know, breathing a prayer, okay, Lord, give me the capacity to be what I need to be for my kids, right, you know, in the next 15 or 20 minutes. So even just preparing our heart, preparing our mind for what is to come.
Take just a few minutes to mentally transition from one activity to the next and make a huge impact in the way that you're able to relate and respond to your children. You'll find more tips for working moms at focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint.
You're not into the body, because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to. And not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become an have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. Mm. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supplies. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today. And God's bringing people to himself. And you know, basically people that have been inside something are heading out. And people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function. And realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. We're continuing our conversation about Nehemiah. If we want what Nehemiah got, we have to do what Nehemiah did. And God is looking for Nehemiahs today. He's looking for ones who will stand up and go through this awesome methodology of understanding the holiness of God and how to appropriately approach him for his will to come to pass, how to come out of bondage. Mm. And so, you know, as we're talking right before the break, they hear... Here he is. He says he's already prayed. He's went through the whole process of facing reality, being broken over the condition, fasting and praying, speaking to God, owning his own sin, acknowledging and repenting for his sin and his father's sins. And he's coming before the king, but he asked that the Lord would grant him success as he goes before the king. So he had compassion. Think about this. Nehemiah had compassion. Compassion is such a rare thing today. If you don't have compassion, it's too early for you to start this whole journey. Mm. Compassion has two components. The first component is that you see what's going on and you're broken for it, and you want, you know, you feel that pain. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel your pain. But the second part is you're going to do something about it.
Right.
And who's doing something about, you know what I'm saying? There's some people that are just sorry. I mean, mm-hmm. they legitimately, you know, are sorry. They're pitiful. They have pity on everything. Oh, I was like, but what are you doing about it? Don't prophesy to me one more time. Mm-hmm. If you're not, don't, you know, give me one more pep rally for the football game if you're not going to get on the field. Mm-hmm. I don't think you deserve to be even called a prophet if you're not going to get on the field and fight.
Yeah,
that's all right.
You're just making people feel bad, but you're not giving them any strategies or relating to those who God's given the strategy. And acknowledging so that people can go do something about it. Mm. And so compassion has two components. The reason why Nehemiah was saying, you know, grant me success today was because he had a strategy. Mm. He wanted the king to grant a blessing over his vision, the vision that he had to be able to do something about the brokenness of Jerusalem, the walls and the gates and all. And so he prayed about that. So in chapter 2 is when he's going before the king and he's going through King
Artaxerxes.
Yeah, Artaxerxes, you know, and he says, you know, as he's bringing the wine before, he's doing his job. Remember that, mm-hmm. he's doing his job. And he brings the wine before him and gave it to the king. And he says, and I'd never been sad in his presence before. Mm. Can your boss say that you've never been sad in the office before? Think about that.
Yeah.
Mm. This employee who was under oppressive government. Mm. Can say, I have never been sad in the presence of my boss before.
Wow. Nehemiah is messing a whole bunch of people's narrative right here. He's showing that he did it right, you know.
Some people think it's their job to have an attitude.
Oh, gosh.
You know, right. It's just like, you know, he said, but he's never been sad in the presence of his employer before, mm-hmm. his boss. Actually, his master in regards to, you know, under God, but in regards to the king. And so the king asked him, I mean, think about it. And you're thinking, well, how come my boss doesn't recognize I'm going through something? Because you do that every single month. Mm. There's nothing uniqueness to your sadness. You know, he's been stepping over your lips for the last 10 years at the office place. So your lips are not impressing him. Well, my husband doesn't have compassion on me. He don't know I'm going through something. Well, he's probably thought you've been going through something for the last 10 years now. I mean, it's like at some point there was no remedy. You weren't looking for a remedy, or right, my husband, right. You know, vice versa, or, you know,
my wife,
your wife or your husband, or your children or whatever. Think about it. It was so unique for him to show emotion that was contradictory to his character at the workplace that his boss says something must be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to understand now, a lot of people say, you know, by their fruit. You can act like a jerk. You can have terrible character, not do your job. But because I know Jesus, my boss is going to grant me everything because I prayed last night. I prayed last night, and my boss is going to grant me everything. And then you go talk to the boss, and you go, she or he's bound by a demon. They won't even. Like, no, they're not. They're bound by your own lack of character, and you haven't done your job. Because if you were of God, and you were operating like Nehemiah was here, they're overtaken by your faithfulness in your job. They want to bless you. God will work through your boss to bless you if you just do your job.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you. And I don't care who, even if the king or your boss is not of God, understand they hired you because they want you to do the job.
Mm-hmm.
So do the job. You know, you were really surprised. Find out what the vision is for your place of employment. Don't create your vision, create some union where you're going to take the boss out and the founder of the company out. Find out what the original intention was. I think about Brett and Sharon up in Denver. When they found out about the company that they worked for, they found out this company was built in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And they had left prayer. And the company's going through some major challenges. But you know what they did? They reestablished, like Nehemiah, they reestablished prayer again. And God turned that whole company around.
Yeah.
And now they're ordering all kinds of big things. And things are going really good up there. This is who we're supposed to be. And so, first of all, you have to understand, I mean, if you haven't been doing your job, your boss, him or her, they have no respect for you.
Mm-mm.
They don't even, you know, if they could find somebody else to replace you, they probably would. But they've invested so much in you, they're thinking, you know, oh, I got to go through the whole training process again, you know, and that type of thing. But you should be that employee that goes, you know what? They're glad to have, and if I am going through something, I really am going through something. And God has just stirred my heart. And that's where he was.
Mm-hmm.
And so here he is walking before the king, and he's doing his job, giving him the wine, and he was sad, and it was very unusual. He'd never happened before, and he says, why does your face look so sad when you're not ill? Think about it. Why does your face look so sad when you're not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. Totally nailed it. But there, you know, but think about it now. Come on. There's some folks that I mean, you wake up on January 1st and you go to sleep December 31st, and that was just sad. It was sad. It was like sad. I mean, you're living in America, first of all. You're richer than 75%. If you're the poorest person now, the poorest person in America, I'm talking about the poorest person in America.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about the middle class, or I'm not talking about the person who's getting minimum wage. I'm talking about the poorest person in America is richer than 75% of the 7+ billion people on the face of the earth. Think about that. And you're walking around with your lips sticking out. Your boss is not going to be able to. I mean, you have to understand, we got to begin to do what God's told us to do. He said, listen, in Ephesians 6, he says, he doesn't say your boss. He says, if your master, slaves, if your master tells you to do something, do it as unto the Lord. Because he will reward you. And he says, masters over your slaves, you treat them well. If you don't, I'm going to deal with you because it's no difference with him.
That's right.
So if you're actually getting paid for the job, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you're in America, you're richer than 75% of 7 billion folks. What do you have to be sad about?
Right.
Show up at work with a good attitude, right? While you still have a job. And so then here he is, he's approaching, and also the king just nails it. He says, there's something you've never done. This is very unusual. It's obviously there's something that's sad in your heart. I mean, something's wrong. Something's not right. And so he has this fear, this honor of the king, because, you know, kings were honored, but he still honored him. I mean, how many people dishonor authority and not realizing that God's established it? And he says, you know, I was very much afraid about this whole thing. He was just kind of, perplexed about the whole thing. But I said to the king, may the king live forever. How many people that don't like authority begin to talk about, you know, take her down, take him down, and to begin to speak death over them, mm-hmm. instead of life and salvation and all. He said, may the king live forever. Why should my face not look sad when the city, why should not my face look sad when the city where my ancestors are buried lies in ruins and its gates have been destroyed by fire?
Mm.
But you're talking about an employee with great integrity. You know what I'm saying? This is somebody that he probably listened to quite often. I mean, we just kind of look at his expressions on his face. Like, everything's good. Nehemiah is happy. Things are going right. And he's like, oh, my goodness, this is serious. I can imagine. So all of a sudden, you're looking at empathy starts coming from the king because he empathized with the king. Mm-hmm. And the king starts saying, you know, I'm feeling your pain. I could see that. I could totally understand it. And we're going to continue this conversation. We don't forget we have four programs back to back. We're going to continue this week talking about Nehemiah. We got to get this because God's people are scattered. The walls are down, and the authority, the gates of the church, the authority that the church once had has been burnt, but it can be reestablished if we take this journey that Nehemiah took. Because God's looking for someone to stand in the gap. He's looking for a Nehemiah that will rebuild the walls so that we can be in right relationship with God again. Make sure you stay tuned to the next program.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We're in this for the long haul or until they take us down. We're in this thing. We are here all the way until the Lord says no. And we are excited about it. There are so many things going to happen and unfold. Understand that God is preparing himself a people across the world and across the nation. We believe there's going to be a third great awakening. There are men and women who may have bowed the knee, who may have done these things that everybody else has done. I mean, read our testimony. I mean, God's brought us out of all this. But when God redeems you, even if you bowed your knee, he'll forgive you. And so he said that he reserved for himself prophets that have not bowed their knee. Well, we have. He's reserved for himself his son, Jesus Christ, that if we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our life, though we've sinned, though we've faltered, though we've made these mistakes and error and the enemy seduced us or lured us or whatever, you know, whatever it is, that when you repent, God forgives you, and it's as if you never bowed your knee. So it's not about a self-righteous, hey, I've never done anything wrong. Well, you just did that wrong because that's not true, and that's pride and can't be used. It's false humility. But understand that if, in fact, that you want, say, God, I want to be a part of what you're doing. I don't want to be on the sidelines. I want to be a player, as we talked about yesterday. I want to encourage you. Today is your day. Today is the day that you can say, you know what? I want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life, the Lord of my life. And I want to be forgiven. God, forgive me for everything, all my compromise, where I've bowed my knee down, where I've sinned against you and sinned against others. Restore me, cleanse me, be the Lord of my life. I'm going to begin to learn how to be your disciple and abide with you on a daily basis. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Awesome. Go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, and find out more about how we made that very same decision. We met our God, our Father God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, and you just did too. And share your story with us. Let us know that what happened. And also go to iabide.org and learn how to abide with Jesus. You abide in him, he abides in you, and you're going to be very successful as he measures success in your life. If you have not yet began to fellowship with believers who believe the word of God, who have a deep passion to hear the voice of God and obey the Lord, who want to see the Great Commission not be the great suggestion, who want to be able to see the kingdom of our Lord come on earth as it is in heaven, who sees the church as the family of God that we are, and the expectation of God that he has of us to increase the size of his family, his kingdom. If you want to be a part of the dream, if you want to be a part of reading a Bible and seeing and walking out what you read, if you want to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer and merely deceived, I encourage you, if you're in the Gulf Coast region, join us at the VFN Dream Center. You can find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org or join us as one of our e-members, our virtual members online. Go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Listen, it is time to be connected to a Rhema word. It is time. We need a now word to be able to step out in faith and see the glory of God. Listen, there's a lot of glory to share, and God wants to manifest his glory in your life. That's vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Vinefellowshipnetwork.org.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm Greg Lancaster. Welcome to the Christian Television Network audience around the nation, around the world, and our VFN radio audience around the nation and the world. I am Greg Lancaster. This is Pat Hamilton. Join us today.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
We are just deep in this week and talking about Nehemiah. I can just feel you feeling how God's just revealing
it's
awesome. To us.
Powerful.
There's just so much to understanding the fact of how do you get what Nehemiah got, because it was amazing how under an oppressive government that he honored while doing his job, facing the reality of how we got under this kind of oppression, begin to feel the heart of God and see his own role and how the nation got there. I remember when we had a big prayer gathering in our community that I grew up in at our auditorium, you know, civic center type thing. And the first thing you think about is like, you know, God spoke to me specifically that, you know, something needed to be prayed for, racial profiling, repentance, repenting for racial profiling. So I went back and told the people who were organizing that, being a part of it, to, you need to pray, you know, y'all need to pray for this. And I was leaving because God spoke that to me. And then they told me, you need to do it. And I'm like, okay, all right. Lesson learned, if you do so. But, you know, that's what God wanted.
If you bring it up,
that's what God wanted. You know, I would not have not done it. And that's what God, being in the form of law enforcement, I can somewhat get. I get it now more than I got even then. And I'm sure I'll get it more tomorrow than I do today. But so when I first got up to pray before, I don't know, 6,000-8,000 folks that was there, whatever.
Probably more than that.
Yeah, it was packed. And understand, this is the city that I was unsaved in.
Right?
And then I got saved in, which means that I'm looking and realizing that the consequences in this city is a lot of the harvest that's happening in the city comes from the seeds that I planted in the city when I was not serving God and when I, you know, with my sin and my. And so the first thing I did when I got up to pray, because I was going to pray with Pastor Willie Williams, then top of the bottom, good man, that I was going to pray before I prayed for racial profiling, and which is, it's tragic, and you know, another topic that we're going to talk about in the future, hopefully, is I first want to pray and ask God forgiveness for my sin that I've committed in the city.
Yeah.
And so many people, you know, skip that part.
They try to remove their sin or their story as if that's something that happened in very long ago, but it's like, hey, we can't forget where we came from.
Mm-hmm. Which is a religious function then, because at that point, you're not really wanting God to heal your community. You're not wanting God to heal your nation. You're just wanting a stage presence to be able to do something, because, you know, why even do it? You know, what does Misty Edwards say? What's the book?
What's the point?
Yeah. You know, what's the point? If you're not going to, I mean, do it the way God says, do it. And the first thing that Nehemiah did was talk about, you know, my sin and the sins of my fathers. And it's okay. God knows it already.
Mm-hmm.
And pretty much the community knows it already too. And just ask for forgiveness. And then the next thing you do, God's going to hear. Versus it's just a religious exercise then. And that was the moment, wasn't it? You see that moment? That was the moment, you know, that God just showed up in a powerful way, which showed us, again, you know, why isn't America broken over these things? And so you start thinking, I'm dysfunctional because nobody's broken over these things. And you're mm-hmm. finding out that they're not broken yet, but if they don't get broken, they're going to be broken.
Wow.
That makes sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so so here's Nehemiah as we were talking about it. And, you know, he's already heard the truth in this journey. And we're going to continue just talking about him in Nehemiah chapter 2. That he was broken over. He got God's heart over it. That he was willing just to face it. He mourned. He prayed. He fasted. He confronted. He allowed God's word to confront him. He found out the ways of God and began to say, this is how we need to go back. And then he asked God for favor when he appeared before the king. He just asked God for his employer, you know. And he showed up with the first time ever in his place of employment with a sad face. Mm. And just go back and listen to that. I'm not going to waste any more time on that. We're going to stay focused on this. But you want to change the atmosphere of your place of your employment. Put a mirror in your desk. Mm. Put a mirror in front of your machine shop device and just look at yourself all day long. And if you smile at yourself, but when the mirror goes away, you frown at everybody else, I mean, that's tough.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah. Yeah, ring that before. I've seen that before. And so here he is. He's praying that the Lord would grant him favor when he goes before the king. The king just, since it was the first time ever, him actually showing his heart like that before the king, and he saw this sad look, he says, obviously, this is a matter of the heart. What's going on? He says, you know, why should my face not look sad when I see the condition of the church in America? Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Why should I not look sad when I see that the city that my ancestors are buried in lies in ruin and the gates are destroyed, he says in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. But then the king says, well, okay. You know, he says, okay, what do you want? What is it that you want? Mm-hmm. I mean, how would you... I mean, and by the way, the people who do walk around with their lips sticking out, you know, all day long, 12 months out of the year, they want some. And their anger and their frustration is you just keep stepping over their lips and not giving it to them. And they're like, don't you see me, my lips sticking out? I am pouting here. And just, it's like.
I even colored them, look.
Hey, welcome to the next decade. That's what happened in the last decade. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not going to live my life on your lips. Anyway, so but this was unusual. And so he knew this particular man is not a manipulator, that this man has always had integrity at this workplace and something's wrong with his heart. And so his response is, what do you want? And that's why a lot of people are moody and all that kind of stuff, because they're wanting something. This is what James says. It says the reason why you argue is because you don't get what you want. Mm. And so this is not about that. This is not about you walking into your boss and being moody or walk into the White House and be a moody, or your governor's office and be a moody, or your whatever. It's just going in there and just realize I'm just distraught over this. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget when I went before our county government, and God just broke my heart over the whole situation. He was showing me that this crisis is coming to America, and I went there and shared it the first time. That year, and this is before the financial crisis that Alan Greenspan called the perfect storm, and I couldn't define how the storm was going to be, but it was going to hit. Mm-hmm. And because we were all used to hurricanes in that area in that time, the conversation kind of went to hurricane preparedness as they were talking back to me. It was five county commissioners at that time, and an administrator and a court reporter, and you know, just kind of like, well, where did that go? You're thinking I wasn't clear enough. You know, maybe I didn't get it. And then they called me back again. Around September or something like that. And so I delivered better, I thought, this time. And this time the court reporter knew that it was coming. This was, you know, I was told her, I was like, document this thing. I want to make sure I do it right. And because the thing is that if the government hears and they respond, God will actually bless that community. He'll bless your city, your state, your nation.
It was June, by the way.
It was June. Well, no, that was the second time. Okay. That was not this. This is a different time. And this is for the perfect storm in Greenspan. Mm-hmm. And so when I finished this time, it just like talking to a brick wall, you know, it was like talking to a brick wall, and Donna was with me. My wife was with me that time. And so, when I walked at that time, the county administrator of that county said, as I was sitting on the front row waiting to be called on, said, you didn't have a dream, did you? You didn't have a dream, did you? And God speaks in dreams and visions and all. And then he said, yeah, and I did. And so when I got up to speak, I delivered that word again. And even in the context of him knowing, yes, it was a dream. Mm-hmm. I'm here because of that. It was just deadpan. It wasn't even like the conversation about hurricanes. And I walked away. I was so downcast, just like Nehemiah was when I was walking out. I normally just kind of wait and kind of work my way out. Yeah. But I just was so sad. And I'm thinking, it's going to happen. And as I was walking out, and I walked past they had a new courthouse then, and walked past the water fountain outside, the county administrator left the meeting.
Wow.
Followed my wife and I out to the water fountain and asked me, Nehemiah? You think about it. He asked me, he says, he didn't call me Nehemiah, but he says, is everything all right? I mean, he knew that this was unusual. This is not how the response is.
Mm-hmm.
But in the context of that, he did nothing. He did nothing. And within months, you know, he was removed from office and good man, but removed from office. And almost as a sign, it's like, you knew, and then all of a sudden now God brings, it's just a whole bunch of story to it. But you got to pay attention to what God's saying. And so this is what happened. The question would have been probably to say, you know, what is it that God wants? What do you think he's saying?
Right.
You know, and that's what the king said here. The authority, the government said to this particular person who's hearing from God, you know, what is it you want? Mm-hmm. What a concept.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
What is it you want? You know, and that's hard, difficult for people who are fighting for what they want. But when you want what God wants, it's just like, what's he saying? Mm-hmm. What is the dream? You know, and it happened, by the way. As soon as I finished up and delivering that word in September, that's right after when the storm hits and, you know, trillions of dollars was lost. And somebody says it's back. No, that's helium. That's not really, it's not
right.
back.
Right.
It's just helium. I can't give financial advice. But if I personally had my money in my 401k, this is what I would do. While it's blown up like this, pull it out. And as it deflates, you've already pulled yours out already.
Mm-hmm.
And you would have benefited off of the artificially inflated, based on my understanding. I meant just on me personally. I can't give you any financial advice. So the king says to Nehemiah, he says, what is it you want? And he says, then I prayed to God, the God of heaven, and I answered the king. He didn't just go flippantly say something. He paused for a moment and he prayed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about Francis Chan. You know, they said, well, here's the podium right now to speak to the world. And they prayed. I mean, it's the house of prayer, right? It's the International House of Prayer. And he says, you know, I feel like I need to pray a little bit more. That's a man who's dependent on God.
Mm-hmm.
He's truly there because God has called him there.
Right.
And so here he is. The answer to his prayer is taking place. The king is asking him, but he prayed again. He prayed again, and then he answered the king. And when we get back from break, we're going to tell you what happened.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts. Don't be deceived. Disciples make disciples. David Platt and Francis Chan tell us in the Multiply Movement. Listen up.
I think we dilute what it means to be a disciple from the beginning. And we want to give people an assurance. All right, you're saved. You said it. You raised your hand. All right, you're saved. Without really letting some time be there, not where they have to prove their salvation or earn their salvation, but letting some time be there to see, yeah, has there been a heart change? Like, is the Spirit of God in this person? I don't want to tell somebody, and as a pastor or just as a as a brother, sister. I mean, I love a person enough to say, hey, we'll wait and see. George Whitefield, preacher, Great Awakenings, thousands and thousands of people at a time. He'd be asked after he preached to thousands of people, how many people were saved? And he said, we'll see 6 months or a year from now. And I mean, that's so different from today. We're like, oh, we had this many or this. But, and he's not saying, well, they got to earn their salvation in the next 6 months. It's, and let's wait and see. And as people have a heart change, then I think they'll genuinely, when they read commands in Scripture, they'll say, I want to obey these. How do I obey these? And there'll be a desire there, as opposed to what we often find ourselves doing. And that's saying, well, do this, do this, do this. And people walk away like the rich young ruler that you talked about earlier. Okay, I feel bad. I mean, I'm not going to do that. And there's just not been a fundamental heart change that then leads to life change and new purpose, new mind, new dreams, new passions, that really feeds into a desire to make the gospel known.
I mean, it's like the multiply, it's the multiplymovement.com with Francis Chan and David Platt. This is so important. He said, go make disciples. If you don't have anybody in your life at this very moment that can disciple you, find somebody who will. Maybe vinefellowshipnetwork.org is for you. Or go to multiplymovement.com. He's called us to be disciples.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. We're continuing our conversation about Nehemiah, and it makes me think about a teaching that's available for you in the VFN TV store. It is called Rebuilding the Walls, or Building the Walls, A Spirit of Nehemiah Versus a Spirit of Sanballat. Very, very good. Very important. You got to get that. You can download it, or you can order the CDs and listen to it. But understand that this is it. We have to rebuild the walls. And what we're talking, Nehemiah is, you know, appearing before the king, his employer. And his employer was so moved by his compassion and his concern. He says, what can I do for you? And so then after he prayed again to God, when the door opened up, and, you know, Lord, help us to pause and pray more. And understand this, you know, finding that place of peace and operate from it. And that's what you got to do, because sometimes it's like, oh, here it goes. And sometimes you can just, it goes straight from spiritual to carnal. Because now everything, you just feel this increase of tension that begins to hit, because your body's maybe freaking out because now it's about to happen. You still got to go back and find that abiding place with God and say, okay, what do I do next? And he prayed. And he said, he says, he answered the king. He says, if it pleases the king. Now, how many people today, and we may be guilty of it ourselves in regards to saying, oh, that'll never please her. It'll never please him. That, you know. They don't even know what it is. There's no way. He's like, I mean, he's laying it out there. He's saying, listen, this is the vision. This is my heart. You have to understand, he's had character. He's done his job. He's lived under this oppressive government. But he says, if it pleases the king. How many people just automatically just shut it down? Like, oh, you shouldn't even have said that. You know he's not going to please him.
Right.
He's not going to do that. He says, if it pleases the king. And understand, this king had no grid in the context of what God was doing in Nehemiah's heart. This is strictly God in Nehemiah and what God's beginning to do. He says, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight. How many employees who, you know, that as soon as you show up, your boss goes to a different room. You think about it. Because they're like, oh, I just can't. I just, you know, they do the job. They do the task well. Mm-hmm. But you haven't found favor in your employer's sight. I mean, he's saying if what I'm about to tell you pleases you, and if I have found favor in your sight, how important is this? Okay, then I guess this process, I need a couple years under my belt then of me just doing my job with a good attitude, with just trusting God through this, even under oppressive government. That's kind of the tension between, you know, are we Jeremiah, Josiah, you know, or Daniel? Which, well, who are we in the context of that? And, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Anybody seen that fourth man anywhere? And so then he prayed and he said this. He says, if I found favor in your eyes, if this pleases you, he says, let him, they're talking to the king. So he's saying, I want you to do this. I want you, Mr. Oppressive Government, who God is using to hold us because we've been in sin.
Mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I want you, he says, let him, you, king, send me to the city, of Judah, where my ancestors are buried so that I can rebuild it. I mean, how often do we, you know, not understand that all authority is established by God, and those who rebel against it rebel against what God has established.
Mm.
They're God's set men. Sometimes you think about Nebuchadnezzar, who was bringing God's people under captivity, was described as God's servant. So much so, he started to take credit for what he was doing.
That's right.
And he had to go to get a pedicure and a manicure. But in the context of it, God's in control here. God's in total control. This is what Jesus told Pilate. He said, listen, as he was sentencing him to be crucified on the cross, he says, there's no authority that you have except what's given you from above.
Mm.
He said to the centurion, to everybody, he said, listen, I haven't found someone who totally gets this. This is the centurion is the only one that gets this with such a great amount of the substance that pleases God the most. Great man of faith, because he understood the authority and how things operate. And the tension that I walk in is, you know, I want to be able to speak truth. At the same time, I don't want to dishonor God's established authority. It's a real tough tension between that. And sometimes it takes a lot of foundational conversation, intense prayer, and to be willing to be misunderstood. But God has to know that your heart is one that is honoring and you want to honor. And so he's saying, listen, if it pleases you and if I found favor in your sight, send me out to go build a church. I want to do a church plant in Jerusalem. Right? Mm. I want to go back and rebuild the walls and all this. So think about it. How is that just shook your world?
Mm.
You have to understand. And we're going to go further in this conversation because we're just going to continue talking about it, you know, and just let God show us, you know, help reveal to us about we want to have the heart of Nehemiah.
Mm.
Is if God's established an oppressive government over you, if Josiah's son that's put over you was named by Egypt and his name is Jehoiakim, which means God set man. If God has put that man there and told Josiah that this would happen, then to rebel against that man is to rebel against what God's established. He is your discipline. He is your consequence. The question we have to ask ourselves, what Nehemiah asked was, what have we done?
Mm.
What have we done to be able to bring this nation to this particular point? And that brings you to the point where it's easy to pray for God's set man when you understand God set that man there, or that woman there, or that governor there, or the whoever. And it's like, oh, because they're a reflection of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could even pray for Nebuchadnezzar, knowing, and you could actually, it'd be okay for you, for this unsaved leader, Nebuchadnezzar, for God to reveal the destiny of his people through him in a dream. And you have to go to an unsaved authority figure to hear what his dream is, to tell you what your future is. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We're not going to go into all those details. But understand, Pharaoh had the dream, and it took Joseph to interpret it. You know, Nebuchadnezzar had the dream, and it took Daniel to interpret it. You had the 7 weeks, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, and by the way, that means because you had a dream, it doesn't mean necessarily. But understand that somehow we have to interrelate with God's creation and understand that all authority is established by him. And that's the tension of walking this out. How do you, which is, he said, I was afraid as he was standing before the king because he's fixing to talk to him. So have that reverence towards what the authority that God's established. And it is difficult at times because you don't know your ultimate loyalties to God, but understand this, they wouldn't have no authority outside of God allowing them to have it. So you have to ask the question, dear God, you know, what meanest thou this? What do we do with this? And so here he is, he's asking the king, through this whole progression now, I mean, a lot of things happened to that point. Can, you know, I need to go plant a church. You know, I need to go. This church got torn down. These people group, these Jews, they had this area that was fenced off, and it's all, those walls are broke down and the gates are burned and all that. And that's my people. You know, that's my peeps. That's my people. And,
they may take you serious now.
Yeah. That's my people. And, I need to get there. I just need to do something about it. And you think about it. That's what he was saying. He didn't want lying, twisting, manipulating, you know, saying he was going to do this, but he's going to do that. He couldn't be honest with mm-hmm. the authorities that was going on. He was just being upfront, because if you understand that, you understand that God is the one in control. So,
right.
But if you're trying to be all sneaky and stuff and all that, you know, you're you know, with bad character at the workplace, it's just not going to necessarily work. Mm-hmm. And so the king, this is what he says in verse 6. He says, then the king, with the queen sitting right beside him, asked him, how long will your journey take? How long will your journey take, and when will you come back? You see, just because you have an idea or you have this unction, you know, I want to go do something. I want to do something for God. You know, if you don't have a vision,
hello.
If you haven't heard clearly about how that's going to take place, you can't answer questions. You have somebody trying to explain their vision to you, like, what are you talking about? You know, what are you talking about? Or, you know, I just want to, like a butterfly, you know, I just want to cross-pollinate. I want to bring some dirt from this place to bring dirt from that place. It's like, I mean, he had to answer questions.
Yeah.
He had to have a plan.
I'm sure it wasn't on a napkin or anything. Either,
No. It wasn't a napkin. It wasn't a graven image. Listen, he had to have a plan. He had to be ready to answer questions. So it wasn't something he was just drumming up in his emotions and he knows this is right, but he just knows that all of a sudden, you know, something's going to happen. I mean, he had to be able to answer a very specific question. What are you going to do? How long is it going to take? And when will you be back?
Yeah.
I mean, how many people can't answer that question? You know, you got to answer it. And that comes through painstakingly crying out to God and seeking his will and searching his word out. What does God want? And I was listening to one of the leaders at International House of Prayer in Kansas City. I mean, he spent like 4 or 5 years or something. He says, crying out to God, God, what do you want?
Mm.
And it's like, oh, wow, you're teaching there. Either way. But, you know, and you got to cry out to God. What do you want? And you're able to answer those questions. And we're going to continue this conversation because Nehemiah answered the question. He answered the question. He was very specific in his needs. He was very specific in his resources. And he knew how to be hush-hush in regards to other folks out there who didn't have the authority, who in regards to that teaching, you got to get. It's called Rebuilding the Walls, a spirit of Nehemiah versus a spirit of Sanballat. Because if you don't know what you're doing, where you're going, and not moving in authority, but you're moving in rebellion, Sanballat is waiting to eat your lunch, man. Mm-hmm. Going to eat your lunch. We're going to continue this conversation throughout the week, and I really believe that it's going to bless you. And just be praying now, Lord, help us understand the spirit of Nehemiah. What are you saying to the church? Help us to rebuild the walls of the church in America.
We want to give a special thanks to our sponsors and our partners. Visit VFNTV.com. We have all their contact information for you, phone numbers, web addresses. We even have a map. We want to thank all of our sponsors and our partners. Become a partner today. Listen, your financial gifts, your sowing, partnering with us, helps us to take the gospel all around the world. Let's do this together. Let's keep the conversation light. VFNTV.com. Partner today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.